Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Way we go. Hour number four of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, Coast to Coast on CBS Sports Radio, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, and the brand new Odyssey app. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We get you set for the NFL draft coming up at the end of the month. And now joining us is the former quarterback at Texas A&M for the Aggies, and that's Kellen Mond here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Kellen, appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on the show.
No problem. We really do appreciate you coming on. Is that bizarre to you when you look back at it now and you hear someone say former Texas A&M quarterback, how quickly that time did fly by?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly crazy. And, you know, I was back at A&M for my pro day and just going to practices and all that, and, you know, just being able to kind of sit back and just watch and, you know, just really not having to be in front of Jimbo and just really being a coach on the side instead of a player. And then, you know, you hear on the radio and everywhere around, you know, former Texas A&M quarterback. But, you know, I spent an amazing 4 years there and truly blessed.
How do you look back at the season that you guys just went through? I know there was some college football playoff conversation and you guys didn't get in, but when you reflect on the season, how do you evaluate what you guys were able to do?
I think it was really tremendous. And, you know, to look back and really understand what, you know, Coach Fisher, the coaches, and, you know, what the players have been building. Obviously, you know, certain types of adversity, you know, my first couple of years, but this past year, to really be able to bounce back from my junior year, you know, me individually, but, you know, everyone as players, you know, from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, and, you know, really just put on a show in front of the whole country and end up number four in the country. It was amazing, but it truly showed that all the work that we put in, and, you know, it was definitely an amazing feeling after that Orange Bowl win.
What was your favorite moment from this year? Was it the Orange Bowl win, or was it the game against Florida? What was the favorite moment?
I mean, I have a tie. The Orange Bowl win, I think, was amazing for me, just understanding, you know, what I've been through at A&M, all the work that I put in, you know, knowing that I was, you know, going to take the next step and enter the NFL, and just know I have a huge weight off my shoulders. But, you know, I think the Florida win was another one that was just, you know, truly tremendous, and, you know, that kind of put us on the map and, you know, really gave, you know, myself, but this team a lot more confidence than what we had. And so, you know, both of those are truly tremendous wins for us.
If you could go back, as Kellen Mond is here with us, and talk to yourself entering Texas A&M, what would you say to yourself? What would be the advice that you would give, like, any freshman?
I think one of the biggest things is, you know, being able to take the mental approach to the game, and, you know, really just one with recovery and, you know, how you approach football as, you know, a businessman. And you know, one of those guys who actually was like that was Christian Kirk. And, you know, me being a freshman there, you know, I really couldn't fully grasp exactly, you know, the way he was, you know, approaching the game. But, you know, now me being, you know, a senior and, you know, back on this end, I mean, really just being able to take care of your body, take care of your mental health, and, you know, just really, you know, just approach the game of football like a businessman, like a professional. And, you know, I feel like that's what I did my senior year. And, you know, that's what I'm able to carry to the next level.
What was the biggest adjustment to a coaching change at A&M?
I think just realizing the different personalities that I was dealing with. You know, one with Coach Sumlin, you know, more of a laid-back guy. But, you know, Coach Fisher, who is, you know, the real hands-on, especially with quarterbacks. And, you know, he could definitely get in your face and yell. But, you know, I think both guys just being able to push, you know, their players really hard. But you know, what Coach Fisher has done with the program and, you know, understanding where we started at my sophomore year, going to my junior year, and, you know, get this program and culture to number four in the country. I think it's just a true testament of, you know, the work that him, the coaches have put in, but also the players and everyone else in the building.
How far away do you think Texas A&M is, Kellamon, from winning a national championship?
I mean, I think they're really close. And, you know, I think this past year was a huge year to, one, kind of boost our confidence in, you know, really amazing ways. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people and a lot of, you know, like I said, people around the country, they don't really give Texas A&M, you know, their respects. But, you know, for a person like me who thought we should have been in the playoffs and, you know, maybe had an opportunity to, one, play in the semifinals or even, you know, play in the national championship, you know, I think that they're very close. And, you know what I was able to do, what other seniors were able to do, and the coaches for establishing a certain culture, you know, I think that Texas A&M is very close and they're on the right path.
What type of game would it have been if you got to go up against Alabama? We saw what happened early in the season when you guys lost 52-24. What type of game would that have been the second time around?
You know, I think it would have been a little bit better game. And I only say that because, you know, one, Jalen Waddle, you know, obviously wouldn't have been as healthy. You know, obviously a phenomenal player, a guy who I've known since, you know, both of our high school days. So, you know, him, you know, playing healthy, you know, week two against us, but obviously him getting hurt, so he wouldn't have been as healthy. But also just us being able to make certain adjustments and understand what we can learn from our mistakes, you know, still getting comfortable. You know, at the time we didn't have, you know, Jamon Osmond was hurt, Cam Buckley towards ACL, Hezekiah Jones, Caleb Chapman were all hurt. So, you know, I think just really started to build more of our identity, you know, after that Florida game and even going on. So I think it would have been different, but obviously both teams who are, you know, coached very well and obviously who's going to be able to make the most changes.
You had just under 10,000 passing yards in college. You had 71 touchdowns, 27 picks. You also added in 22 rushing scores. If someone has never seen you play and you have to sell me on Kellamon as a quarterback, describe me your game.
You know, I think the best thing that I would say is, you know, I'm a pocket threat quarterback. And, you know, I think at times, you know, the word dual threat kind of gets skewed in as, you know, more of a running style quarterback. But also, you know, pocket threat means, you know, you can't really run. So I think I'm a combination of both. And, you know, just being able to be a threat from the pocket in the way that I throw, but also, you know, being a huge threat in the run game. And, you know, I think I was, I'm not sure if it was the SEC or the whole entire country, but, you know, top five in explosive runs. So I think it was a true testament to, one, what my running ability was able to do, but also, you know, push the ball down the field. And, you know, those results showed on my third down efficiency. So, you know, I would definitely describe my game as a pocket threat quarterback.
What do you have to work on the most?
You know, I think still one of the biggest things is continue to work on my feet. And, you know, I would probably say that was my biggest weakness this year, and just really the pace on my feet and really just being able to move my feet a lot faster. I think I do a great job of processing information, you know, from, you know, that's on the upper half. But if I can make my lower half match, you know, what my mind is doing, I think I can play even faster. And, you know, that's what's going to take in the NFL.
I read a lot of mock drafts, and everyone's saying there's going to be five quarterbacks that go in the first round: Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and Trey Lance. Do you feel as if you should be in that conversation? You should be in that first round conversation, in your opinion?
I 100% think so. And, you know, I think my resume speaks for itself. You know, one, you know, having 40 plus starts in the best conference, you know, the closest thing to the NFL, and, you know, really just showing my growth this past year, a 9-1 record, you know, breaking many records at Texas A&M. Then after the season, after an Orange Bowl win, going and winning the most valuable player at the Senior Bowl, and then having a phenomenal pro day. And, you know, I think, you know, from the feedback and, you know, the reviews that I got since, you know, the season has been over, I think a lot of people have been really shocked in, you know, what they've seen me do in person, but also, you know, going back and watching the film. So, you know, I tell a lot of people, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. So, but I'm definitely excited for the opportunity and, you know, what's going to, you know, bring forth, you know, April 29th in the draft.
Do you don't feel disrespected in this process?
You know, I don't feel disrespected. I think that everything is going to work out exactly, you know, how it's supposed to. I think that's exactly what happened at Texas A&M. Sometimes people's, process takes a little bit longer than others. And, I just continue to grind. I understood, what certain things that I needed to get better at. And I understood, where I needed to grow in my leadership skills and, my physical ability and my mental ability. And, I was able to do that and, become self-aware of those things and those traits my senior year. And just continue to grow. And so I'm looking forward to taking those, traits, characteristics to the next level. And, I'm definitely going to be excited. And, whatever team drafts me is going to get a hell of a player.
Kellen Mond here with us. When we look back at your roots, how'd you fall in love with the game of football? And when did you know that, hey, I wanted to be a quarterback for a living?
Well, I mean, there's a story that my dad kind of always tells people. He says he had me throwing the football at the age of two.
Wow.
I know. It was a long, long time ago. We have our certain blinds in my house at San Antonio, and supposedly I was, I guess I wasn't that good at such a young age, and I was always damaging the blinds. And he said, whenever I get drafted, that's when those blinds are going to come down. So, those blinds should be coming down at the end of the month, and so they'll have to be replaced. So, that's when I tell people I fell in love with the game.
Who were some quarterbacks that you looked up to growing up as a kid, or maybe even now still?
I think one of the biggest people that I watched this past off season, and, I don't really necessarily have like idols necessarily, but, I go to different people for different parts of their game. But, I speak on, the way my feet need to improve. And the two people that I watched most were, Drew Brees and Tom Brady. And, a lot of people, think, I don't really play like them. And, I can definitely see why they would say that. But, you look at guys who, some of the most prolific passers in NFL history and, maybe some of the most accurate passers in NFL history. And it comes with a great mind, both of them, but, their feet is what the roots and, what makes their upper half work. So those are two guys that I definitely studied and, are definitely going to be Hall of Famers.
You bring up Tom Brady. Now we know he's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he did some good things, obviously, with the New England Patriots winning 6 Super Bowls. I read today in the Boston Globe from Jim McBride that you've had a lot of contact with the Patriots. Is that right?
I talked to them, and I've talked to multiple teams down at the Senior Bowl. I'm just excited to explore my options, be able to speak to different teams. Like I said, down at the Senior Bowl, and like I said, whatever team drafts me is getting a hell of a player, a hell of a man, and amazing competitor. So. Like I said, I'm excited for the opportunity that's coming at the end of the month.
Well, if I'm Belichick and I go to you, Kellen, let's just expand on this a little bit. You said you're getting a hell of a man and a hell of a competitor. Sell me a little bit more on why I should draft you. How would you sell me on why I should draft Kellen Mond?
I think, like I said before, my resume speaks for itself. And I think, when a player can, one, have the experience that I've had and, really understand, ways to grow and, ways off the field with my leadership and, the way I interact with players, but also, the way that I approach the game, and somebody who can be, self-aware and self-critical of himself at a high level is, always going to continue to grow. So, I think if you look at my growth from my freshman to my sophomore to my junior to my senior year, I think that my resume and, my ability to be self-critical of myself speaks for itself.
Is playing right away very important to you? Are you okay with maybe, let's say, redshirting a year in the NFL and having to sit for a season before they let you start?
I really have, no preference. Obviously, I want to go in and, I want to be the starter. I want to play. But, at the end of the day, I understand that, there's always going to be some type of learning curve. And, one, going to college, but, guys in the NFL, you always have to reinvent yourself every single year. So, I don't mind sitting and, just really learning and grasping from other quarterbacks and just, what I'm able to see on film and just learn. I'm a true student of the game, and just the way that I watch film, I'm super coachable. So, I think really going in my first year, whether I'm playing or whether I'm not, just being able to learn, I think would be amazing for me.
If you weren't going to be a quarterback, if you weren't going to be a football player, what would you do for a living?
I wouldn't be doing anything. I really have no idea. I'm a, like I said, my dad had me throwing the ball, football at 2 years old. So, For 19 years, I've been throwing a football, and you know, I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Well, then I ask you this: what do you do away from football? Like, what's a hobby that you have? Something not sports related.
A hobby I have no hobbies that are not sports related or football related. A hobby would be, you know, watching highlights or something on YouTube or watching film, which is almost like a daily thing. So. That's what I don't do when I'm not physically going out and playing football. I'm a true student of the game, and I'm a football head. So you
sleep.
That's exactly what I do.
You sleep, you eat, and you breathe football is what you're telling me. It's football, football, football.
Yeah, my mind kind of works like a hamster wheel when it comes to football.
I love that. Well, hey, this was a whole lot of fun. It was a great conversation. We'll be rooting for you. Can't wait to see what your name's going to get called. Good luck and congratulations on the future success.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
There's Kellen Mond. I was impressed. I was very impressed. Football, 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 football. And I like the way that he handled the question about if he belonged to the conversation with Trevor Lawrence, also Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. Take a timeout. 15 past the hour. We come on back. Steve Sand's going to join us at 9:40 p.m. Eastern. Before that, though, we got to talk about quarterbacks that have some new homes. What are the expectations for those quarterbacks in year number one?
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for our car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Also, doing more, sponsored by the Home Depot. Bring on spring with innovative help from the Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started on spring projects. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Bulls new addition, Nikola Vucevic, made his presence known as the Chicago Bulls beat the Pacers 113-97 on Tuesday night. The trade deadline acquisition scored 32 points and grabbed 11 boards for his 33rd double-double of the season. My God. The Bulls have now won two games in a row. That's funny wording. They've won back-to-back games. Big two-game win streak and are just a game behind the Pacers for ninth place in the Eastern Conference. All righty. So we have a lot of movement on the QB carousel. We'll get more coming up at the end of the month with the draft. I'll give you the quarterback. I'll give you the team. I'll tell you then what I think the expectation is and if they will meet that expectation or if they'll fall short of it. Stafford, Rams, Super Bowl. I don't think the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl this year. It's not just getting to the Super Bowl, it's winning the Super Bowl. Not that I think Jared Goff would have got him back to the Super Bowl. Jared Goff was already the quarterback, though, of that team when they got to the Super Bowl before. You bring in Matthew Stafford, it's because you didn't believe in Jared Goff and you think Stafford can be that guy who has never won a playoff game. But he was in Detroit, never had really a running back. Now you put him in a much better environment. Can he win the Super Bowl? I don't think they will this year. Sam Darnold. I think people are going to be a little bit surprised what I'm about to say in terms of the expectation. I think a fair expectation this year may be a little bit ambitious. When you have a coach on a 7-year contract, year one's a wash, year two you want to see improvement, year three is really when the playoffs should happen. I don't think it's crazy when you have seven teams and you have Robbie Anderson, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and you have a good coaching staff. If Darnold takes that step with actual talent, I don't think it's crazy to at least go into this year having the expectation that the Panthers should make the playoffs. I also talked to a Carolina Panthers player. I talked to that player 2 weeks ago. When that player didn't even know they were getting Sam Darnold. No one knew they were getting Sam Darnold at that point. And I was talking to that player. I go, what type of team do you think you have when you look at what happened last year? And he goes, I thought we should have won a whole lot more games last year, and we were learning a little bit. And we were losing games late, which he's not wrong about. That player genuinely believes that they can make the playoffs. And it was kind of a conversation where, hey, I'm not going to use your name, just kind of talking to that player, seeing if they think that they could actually make the playoffs. Matt Rhule, when you look at it, year one at Baylor, disaster. Year one at Temple, disaster. One win at Baylor, two wins at Temple. Second year, did take a nice step. And then third year was really when you got to see both those programs turn around. I'm going to say the expectation for, and it could be a little bit ambitious. Like, Trace, if I ask you expectation this year for the Panthers, do you just go 500? Is that what you're saying? Which, actually, now you can't even go 500.
It's impossible. Well, I guess they could go 8-1.
Yeah.
9-7?
Okay.
Ambitious? Or I guess, no, 9-8. Damn it, I did it. 9-8.
Yeah, and you can make the playoffs. Last year, what, 8-8 made the playoffs? So you don't think it's crazy to say playoffs of the Panthers as an expectation, right?
Playoff discussion. How about in the mix?
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
All right, yeah, let's do it this way. If the goals are at the absolute highest for that team, playoffs for the Panthers this year, I'm going to say that the Panthers are improved, but they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm also wondering what Sam Darnold turns into. If you had to make a comparison, I forget who actually said this. But someone said maybe he could become the next Ryan Tannehill, right? Isn't that when you fail in one place and your career's on life support, you go somewhere else, maybe the next Ryan Tannehill. Is that something, though, that you really want to be? I don't mean that disrespectfully. Ryan Tannehill, he's not a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a quarterback that ever wins a Super Bowl. And when he has to go win the game, I don't love him going to win the game. Like, for example, like he can make a big third down throw. He did up against the Patriots. If Ryan Tannehill doesn't have Derrick Henry, totally different. Like, look at the playoff game this year. They bottled up Derrick Henry when they went up against the Ravens, and Tannehill with the game on the line threw a pick. Now, if you're Carolina and you get a Ryan Tannehill, that means you're consistently in the playoffs. Never means you're going to win a Super Bowl, though. Darnold needs to be better than Ryan Tannehill. Fitzpatrick, Washington football team. Expectation, NFC East. NFC East champs. I don't know why.
I'm going to hold my nose when I say this. For some reason, I'm believing in the Dallas Cowboys. P.U., I am believing in the Dallas Cowboys to win the division. Not to win a playoff game, but I'm holding my nose as I say this. And I sound like I'm 95 years old and have some asthma. My glasses. Where are my glasses?
As much as I love Ron Rivera and that defense, Fitzpatrick is just so inconsistent. And I know the Cowboys are inconsistent. And they do got Gibson at running back. They got McLaurin. They got Samuel. They got more pieces. There's just been too much positivity the last 2 years of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And when you're in that Fitzmagic wheel, that means there's something negative is going to happen this year. I'll go Cowboys win the division. Jameis Winston. The expectations to win the division. You're the Saints. I don't think you win the division. I would say, though, right now, you're on my list of teams that would make the playoffs in the NFC. I believe in Jameis Winston. Not that I love Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston, if he gets 2 years with the Saints, like let's say if he gets this year and then they franchise tag him, I think he'll have a good year and then an ant year. I really do. I believe they'll put him in a good spot, a good situation. Andy Dalton. The Bears, coached by Matt Nagy, GM Ryan Pace, with basically no offense. You have Allen Robinson. That's a plus. The expectation for the Bears, playoffs, right? You made the playoffs last year. You got to make the playoffs again. Really, in order to keep Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy, which is just a disgusting thought, you got to win a playoff game. You do. Can't just make the playoffs. I'm going to say that the Bears don't make the playoffs. Carson Wentz, Colts, win the division. Right now, even though they don't get off the field on third down, even though they don't put pressure on the quarterback, I don't love Tannehill. I do love Derrick Henry. I'm going to say, yeah, the better roster, it's probably Indianapolis. I think Indy has the more complete team. But the Wentz situation is such a wild card. Because I don't know with Wentz if he's going to play well. And I also don't know if he's going to stay healthy. Now, if he can't get this to work with Frank Reich, and he's in the situation that he wants to be in, he didn't want to be in Philadelphia anymore, then Carson Wentz will never be a good quarterback again. It was a flash in the pan in what we saw in what could have been an MVP season if he didn't get hurt when he tore up his leg in L.A. I'm still going to roll right now on the 7th day of April in the year of 2021, I'm still going to roll with the Titans winning that division. But the Colts should be a playoff team, and they could win that division. Am I missing any quarterbacks? I'll do two with the draft. Just two with the draft. I don't think we're missing anyone else, right? We got all the big situation, quarterback changes. And I'm not going to do Jalen Hurts of the Eagles because we saw him a little bit. I mean, that's one that you leave out. And I think the Eagles maybe at best are going to be a 6-win team, or then maybe I'll say a 7-win team because you have to add one. If I thought they'd be 6-10 at best, then you got to add another win there this year potentially with the extra game. Jets. Wash year. Don't ruin the quarterback's confidence. Don't get the quarterback killed. And Zach Wilson will be walking into a better situation than what Sam Darnold was walking into. And for the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence, what's expectations year number one for the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence? Like that roster, you got some pieces, but you still need a lot of work to do. Now, the first year, Trace, do you remember the first year of Andrew Luck with the Colts? Because they went, when Manning was out, they went 2-14, right?
Yep.
Now, their first year, for some reason, I don't remember it off the top of the head. If I had to guess, I'm going to say they made the playoffs, right?
11-5.
Oh, they went 11-5?
He crushed it.
Was that the year they beat Denver in the playoffs? Or was
No, that was the next year. They lost to the Ravens in the first round who won the Super Bowl.
They
made it one step further each of the next 3 years.
Okay. Now let me pull this up. Now with Luck there, they went 11-5, 11-5, 11-5. First 3 years out of the gate. That's so criminal what happened to Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. I hate to do that to you because I know that still drives you crazy. That it really is criminal too.
If there should be a sports like jail, put Ryan Grigson in there. Lock him up for life.
Where's Ryan Grigson now? I want to say he was with the Eagles last year.
I think he's like employed somewhere. He
went somewhere this year. Oh no, you know where he's at? So after the Colts, he's had a few stops. Not the Eagles, I'm wrong on that. 2012 to 2016, he was with the Colts. He was with the Browns in 2017. That was the 0-win season, right?
One win, I think. Maybe it was the winless season.
Was 2017 the winless?
Baker was taken in 2018.
Yeah, they had the number one overall pick.
Yeah,
then.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
2018
to 2019, he was a consultant for the Seahawks back in Cleveland in 2020.
Oh, that's a shame.
Here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns, and it's 1st and 10. You know he does have a Super Bowl ring?
Wow. With who?
Any if you had to take a guess.
No clue. The Patriots. I don't know.
Nope.
The Steelers.
He was with the Rams as a scout.
Classic. Like 40 million years ago.
You know how old Ryan Grigson is?
Not old enough.
Not even 50.
I was going to say, oh, really?
It's 49. Oh. Just turned 49 in February. We'll take a break. We'll come on back when we do return. As Trace is going to have to settle down here, I see a blood vessel just popping right now. You are so veiny right now. You are freaking out. You are so upset. You are as red as a tomato. Oh, my God. You're going to pop a blood vessel. When we come back, we get a Masters preview with the preeminent voice in golf. Friend of show. NBC Sports. Golf Channel. He interviews everyone. They call him Sanzi.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The Masters are back. I just had one in November because of COVID-19. Masters starting up again tomorrow. Now joining us, the preeminent voice in golf from the Golf Channel and NBC Sports. That's our pal, Steve Sands, or as all of his buddies now call him, Sanzi. Sanzi, what's going on?
You're out of your mind, Zach. The preeminent voice in golf?
Come on, man. You don't think that's true? You don't think you're the best voice in golf?
Oh, my God. Come on, man. I mean, you're a lot cooler than your father, Boomer, but come on. Well, and that's not Boomer for the kids listening. That's not like Boomer like what the kids say. I mean, that's actually his father's nickname.
Yes. Well, I will say, I don't think you were all that popular. What happened with the whole Justin Thomas thing? Did you see that reaction?
Yeah, I saw that. That's ridiculous. Valerie saw it. I'm not a Twitter guy, as you know. I've never been on social media in my life. What Twitter is a cesspool. And you can have 7 million people watching a show and 60 people decide they want to chime in on Twitter because they think they know what happened there. And they don't know what happened there. That was Justin Thomas is perfectly fine. Oh, I didn't know that he was on camera when he said that. So when I got home, Valerie was like, "You're getting destroyed on Twitter." I'm like, "What?" Like, "You made him cry." I go, "I didn't make him cry. Questions don't make athletes cry. Answers do." And she's like, "Yeah, but he said, like, dude, how could you do that to me?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, he was just screwing around. I mean, I've known Justin since he was a kid." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, Twitter's really hacky. Like, they're killing you. Like, they want you fired." I'm like, "What? Like, for what?" They're like, "Oh, you bullied Justin Thomas." I'm like, "Hey, bullied Justin Thomas. I love Justin Thomas. He's a great kid." And, you know, the question had to be asked about his grandfather, and he got upset, as he should, because he loves his grandfather like you and I would have. And it was a perfectly fine thing. But I didn't mean to make him cry, and I certainly wouldn't bully the kid. I love Justin Thomas. Great.
It's actually funny. One of my good friends.
Those were tears of joy, by the way. He texted me and was like, no, come on, man. I'm not mad. Those are tears of joy. So, okay, I'm just glad you're all right.
One of my good friends texted me. He goes, "Your guy Steve Sands is getting dragged through the mud." And then I watch the clip. I go, "What's the big deal?" Now, there's a Twitter account for you, at Steve Sands GC. Is that not yours?
I guess it might be. I've never been on Twitter in my life.
But gotcha.
My Valerie follows all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And she just thinks it's funny because, you know, they never say anything good about you. They all just want to kill you. Twitter's a cesspool, man.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, so make a long story short, you know, Brian, Scott, and Eric are following it. They're laughing their butts off. They're like, "Dad, you suck." You know, that kind of stuff.
Your kids are giving it to you. Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's like 11 o'clock that night. They're like, "Hey, you know, Eric is like, Dad, here's my favorite one, you know. You like that kind of, like, you know, how bad you are," that kind of stuff. So I just said, "Okay, fellas, everybody want to just do this? I'll do this just for you. I'll do this."
Yeah.
Text Justin Thomas. "Hey, man, are you reading this stuff on Twitter? Like, I'm getting him." He goes, "Yeah, man, you're getting destroyed. Sorry about that. Those were like tears of joy, man. Those were. I'm not mad at all. Don't be silly. Of course not. I gave the guy a hug afterwards, off camera. Obviously, I was happy for him. He's great. I love Justin. They were totally fine." The Twitterverse getting all upset about that is, this makes me laugh. I don't care about that stuff. Valerie's like, "I wouldn't be able to sleep if people were killing me like that publicly." I'm like, "Oh, come on."
I was getting called the worst things on a Reddit thread because I was going after Big Ben earlier in the football season. People were like, "Oh, he's a fat Mason Rudolph." And they talk about me, and I go, "Oh, that's hysterical that they called me a fat Mason Rudolph. I'm fine by that." Thanks for listening. Steve Sands here with us. So Spieth wins last weekend, and that was so big. It was his first win since 2017. Are you confident with Spieth going into the Masters, or is it a little bit, the odds of him winning back-to-back tournaments aren't good?
Yeah, I'm on the ladder. Now, I think Spieth's got a great chance to win. And when he comes here, he plays very well. He's got that win in 15, Zach. He's tied for second in 14 and 16. He was third in 18. So he knows how to play the golf course. And he's certainly better off coming in with a win than he is coming close again and not winning, because he hadn't won in 1,351 days since the 17 Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. Having said that, it's so hard to win in this sport, and people just don't understand how hard it is to win in this sport. And when you win back-to-back weeks, that's like the rarest of them all. So I loved him going into Sunday in San Antonio. Then when he won, I thought, oh, maybe not. But I absolutely couldn't. I couldn't be happier for him. I'm so happy that he got the win. He's worked so hard. He's such a good kid. And I think he absolutely has a great chance to win this week. It's just really hard to win back-to-back, but absolutely he can win, no question.
I'd be really curious. I know he's won a major since the collapse at Augusta, but I would love to see him be up like a stroke or two with five or six holes to play, or maybe actually going right to Amen Corner coming up on Sunday, just to see how he'd respond to that pressure.
No, you want him to be one up on 12. Because in 2016...
That's a splash, yeah.
That's where he splashed it twice. That's where you want to see what kind of chops he has. And I think he's got the chops. I think he's absolutely suited for this moment, for this course, everything about it. You never know until you get out there, though, Zach. You never know. But look, everybody who tried to give up on Jordan Spieth, they're out of their minds. All right, and that was a big win for him in San Antonio, and I expect Jordan to play well this week again.
Confidence level, Steve Sands with Rory as he looks to get the career Grand Slam here.
Mine or his? His confidence is not high. It's the lowest it's been in a long, long time, which is fascinating because he's such a great player, Zach. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he starts tomorrow. I think more than any other player on the PGA Tour of that caliber and that kind of rarefied air of where he sits, I think he's the kind of guy who has to get off to a good start. It's got to happen. And if he doesn't get off to a good start, things kind of tumble away from him. And I don't know why that is. It just is. But having said all that, I think Rory kind of comes in under the radar a little bit, which is very odd for a guy who's got a chance to win a career Grand Slam. And nobody's picking him. So go ahead and get off to a good start, kid. See what happens. Get after it a little bit. He's a great front runner. And he needs to get off to a fast start tomorrow. And if he does, look out. Who knows? But he does not have any confidence coming into the week. So having said all that, it's going to be a tough spot for him.
Two names that are always talked about now, Colin Morikawa and Bryson DeChambeau. How about Morikawa? And for DeChambeau, I like how polarizing it is. Either love him or you hate him. I'm just wondering how much longer, you know, he'll be fine, obviously, for the next few years. But with all the injuries that could occur with the powerful approach, I wonder what his long-term vision is as a golfer.
You know, it's funny, Zach. I was thinking the same thing today. We were talking about him on the air doing our show. And I thought, what's the long game here? Is he going for a Kurt Warner-like 4 or 5 year great run? Or is he actually trying to, you know, do the marathon golf career as opposed to it being a sprint? And I don't know. I mean, how long can you keep? I feel like I'm going to tear my ACL watching him play golf, like the way he swings at it. And I don't know. I don't think this golf course is great for the way he plays. And I just don't think, you know, at Wingfoot, the rough would catch a lot of his ball, a lot of his golf balls from going into the trees. The rough's not really existent here. So those tee shots that are a little bit errant, and you're going to have some that are errant because you're hitting the ball so hard, and swinging at it so hard, your ball speed's so hard, your spin rate's so hard, and your swing is so hard, you're bound to be a little errant at some point. Those balls are going to go into the pine straw and the trees here that they got caught up in the rough at Wingfoot, and he was able to muscle it out of there. Here, they'll be in the pine straw and the trees, and that will leave him with some bad angles. And I just don't think this is the week for Bryson DeChambeau. For Morikawa, you know, does he putt well enough yet to be here, to do well here? I don't know, man. His putting is not great. It's obviously good enough. He's a tremendous player. I don't know if it's good enough here yet. And I think that what will be interesting to see with Colin is he's only played in one Masters, and that was in November. Totally different golf course this week. Totally different vibe with patrons here. There were none in November. So the last guy, Zach, who won the Masters for the very first time was Fuzzy Zeller in 1979. Yes, he played in November, did Morikawa, but I think this is basically his first Masters, kind of. And I wouldn't put him on the short list either this week.
What? Give me a range, kind of, where you expect the score to be. I know it's not going to be 20 under. Every golfer this week is saying they're going to expect this course to play really tough.
Yeah, no way it's getting the 20 under. If it does, then somebody went bananas because they've made the golf course so much firmer, so much faster. They didn't love the 20 under, Zach. They did not love a scoring record there. And to have that happen 2 years in a row, two Masters in a row, I just don't think that the membership is going to be too big on that. So if I had 11 or 12 under right now, I'd be pretty happy, I think. I mean, that golf course is hard, man. It is firm and fast. If it stays dry, and tomorrow's not supposed to rain, it's supposed to rain a little bit maybe late in the afternoon Friday, overnight Friday, and then into Saturday. If it stays dry, Mother Nature cooperates. I think 11, 12 under would be a really, really good score.
Just give me the names. If you had three picks, who are you going with to win?
Can I box a try? Can I do a try box for you horse racing fans?
I have some money with the old man on Sungjae Im at 39-1, Lee Westwood at 40-1, and Abe Answer at 100-1. That's what we placed today.
Okay. Yeah, I would do a Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed try box. And if you want to wheel it over a long shot, I would say Joaquin Niemann is a guy I think who has a chance to make some noise this week. A guy from Chile, he's won on the PGA Tour, he's a tremendous player. And I think he has the kind of game and chops to handle the moment. And I think Joaquin Niemann could be a guy from way off the board. But if I'm going to go with horsepower, I would go with Spieth, Cantlay, and Patrick Reed. And Dustin Johnson will play well, too. I mean, Dustin Johnson's the favorite. He should be the favorite. I don't love taking the straight chalk, but wouldn't shock me at all if Dustin Johnson were the winner.
I literally have 45 seconds and the show ends. Can you just give me a 45-second read on Tiger and just what has kind of been the conversation today covering it?
Yeah, you know, it's bizarre. You know, I think that, you know, people are wondering how he's doing. He's doing better. I've talked to some people who have been around him lately, and he is certainly improving. But it's going to be a long road, man. That was a really, really serious accident. I'm just glad he's alive, glad he's doing okay, and I'm glad he's improving, and I hope he just kind of stays the course. And golf should be an afterthought. You know, his life should be what's most important, and I think right now it is, and that's a good thing. But I haven't spoken to him, and I haven't been around him, but I'm rooting for him. I hope he's doing okay, man. That was a serious accident.
Sanzi, we appreciate it. Enjoy the Masters. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, Zach. Be good, bud.
There he is, Steve Sands right there on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Fun show today. I'd like to thank everyone for making it possible. Talk to you manana, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Zach Gelb Show out. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.